Listening test. You are going to listen to two recordings and answer some questions. All recordings will be played twice. Part one. Before you start listening, you have some time to look at the instructions and the questions you will have to answer.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Alex Vargas, and I'm a board game developer. Thank you for inviting me to this meeting of the Board Game Club. Tonight, we're going to see how games relate to real life. I'm going to introduce you to a new game that I'm working on now. But first, here's a little history of one of the best-known games in the United States today. It's The Game of Life from the Milton Bradley Company. This game is more than 150 years old, and it is still one of the company's most popular games. Milton Bradley was a famous game developer in the 19th century. In 1860, he started the Milton Bradley Company. For the company's first product, he developed a board game called The Checkered Game of Life. The game became an instant success. It sold over 40,000 copies in its first year. Here's a picture of Bradley's original game. It looks like a checkerboard with its red and black squares. In this game, players went through life. They began as babies, here in the lower left corner, in the square called infancy. The object of the game was to finish at happy old age at the top of the board. Bradley wanted the game to teach children moral values. Players got points for landing on good squares like honesty and bravery. They lost points on squares like prison and crime. Milton Bradley died in 1911, but his company continued. Years later, in 1960, the Milton Bradley Company published a new version of The Game of Life to celebrate its 100th year. That game is very different from Bradley's original game. The object of the modern game is to get the most money and end on the millionaire square, not happy old age. There are no spaces with moral values. The company updates the game every few years because of changes in modern life. For example, in the most recent versions, players buy things with credit cards instead of play money. Between 1960 and the year 2009, the new versions of The Game of Life sold more than 35 million copies. What do the changes in the game show us about the changes in our real lives during the last 150 years? That's an interesting question. Milton Bradley's ideas were very different. His game didn't focus so much on money. Now to my game. I'm developing a game with a real-life purpose. Its name is Environment, and it's about climate change. I have some sample copies with me tonight. Now, the rules for the game are fair. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Alex Vargas, and I'm a board game developer. Thank you for inviting me to this meeting of the Board Game Club. Tonight, we're going to see how games relate to real life. I'm going to introduce you to a new game that I'm working on now. But first, here's a little history of one of the best-known games in the United States today. It's The Game of Life from the Milton Bradley Company. This game is more than 150 years old, and it is still one of the company's most popular games. Milton Bradley was a famous game developer in the 19th century. In 1860, he started the Milton Bradley Company. For the company's first product, he developed a board game called the Checkered Game of Life. The game became an instant success. It sold over 40,000 copies in its first year. Here's a picture of Bradley's original game. It looks like a checkerboard with its red and black squares. In this game, players went through life. They began as babies, here in the lower left corner, in the square called infancy. The object of the game was to finish at happy old age at the top of the board. Bradley wanted the game to teach children moral values. Players got points for landing on good squares like honesty and bravery. They lost points on squares like prison and crime. Milton Bradley died in 1911, but his company continued. Years later, in 1960, the Milton Bradley Company published a new version of the Game of Life to celebrate its 100th year. That game is very different from Bradley's original game. The object of the modern game is to get the most money and end on the millionaire square, not happy old age. There are no spaces with moral values. The company updates the game every few years because of changes in modern life. For example, in the most recent versions, players buy things with credit cards instead of play money. Between 1960 and the year 2009, the new versions of the Game of Life sold more than 35 million copies. What do the changes in the game show us about the changes in our real lives during the last 150 years? That's an interesting question. Milton Bradley's ideas were very different. His game didn't focus so much on money. Now to my game. I'm developing a game with a real-life purpose. Its name is Environment, and it's about climate change. I have some sample copies with me tonight. Now, the rules for the game are fair.
Part 2. Before you start listening, you have some time to look at the instructions and the questions you will have to answer.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to today's edition of Afternoon Chat. Today, we're discussing the question, do you think your friends are part of your family? And now to our first caller. We have Hal on the line. So, Hal, what do you think? Do you think your friends are part of your family?
Well, you know what they say. You can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. I mean, I have some very good friends, and I feel closer to them than I do to my brothers and sisters. I don't know why, but there are things I don't say to my family that I tell my friends. Maybe it's because my friends are less critical. Your family is more likely to tell you that you're doing or saying the wrong thing.
Thanks for that opinion. And now to our next caller, Marielena. What do you think? Are your friends part of your family?
Well, I agree that close friends are wonderful, But still, it's not really the same thing as being part of a family. It's like the old saying, blood is thicker than water. Family members are responsible for each other in a way that friends aren't. Maybe that's why families are more critical. If you get into trouble, they almost have to help you out. In other words, your problems are their problems. That's not as true with friends. For me, friends and family are different, even though I love both.
Interesting thoughts, Marielena. Here's Paul on the line. What do you say, Paul?
I think friends can become your family. Do you remember that popular TV program, Friends? It was all about these young people in their 20s and 30s, all single, living in New York. They were kind of like a family, but they weren't. At the end of the program, some of them got married. I think people can start out as friends, and then they meet that one special friend and get married. Then they start their own family. After that, with children and work and so on, they have less time for friends outside the family.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to today's edition of Afternoon Chat. Today, we're discussing the question, do you think your friends are part of your family? And now to our first caller. We have Hal on the line. So, Hal, what do you think? Do you think your friends are part of your family?
Well, you know what they say. You can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. I mean, I have some very good friends, and I feel closer to them than I do to my brothers and sisters. I don't know why, but there are things I don't say to my family that I tell my friends. Maybe it's because my friends are less critical. Your family is more likely to tell you that you're doing or saying the wrong thing.
Thanks for that opinion. And now to our next caller, Marielena. What do you think? Are your friends part of your family?
Well, I agree that close friends are wonderful, but still, it's not really the same thing as being part of a family. It's like the old saying, blood is thicker than water. Family members are responsible for each other in a way that friends aren't. Maybe that's why families are more critical. If you get into trouble, they almost have to help you out. In other words, your problems are their problems. That's not as true with friends. For me, friends and family are different, even though I love both.
Interesting thoughts, Marielena. Here's Paul on the line. What do you say, Paul?
I think friends can become your family. Do you remember that popular TV program, Friends? It was all about these young people in their 20s and 30s, all single, living in New York. They were kind of like a family, but they weren't. At the end of the program, some of them got married. I think people can start out as friends, and then they meet that one special friend and get married. Then they start their own family. After that, with children and work and so on, they have less time for friends outside the family.
This is the end of the listening test.